Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey there, welcome in to another edition of What Barry's Talking About from Barry 360. I'm Dan Blakely. On this week's program, Mayor Alex Nuttall fills in the blanks on what the city is doing and not doing in terms of the homeless. We talk with a woman who was homeless, who thinks there was some merit in the bylaws the city had proposed and have been sent back to staff for further consideration. The Simcoe Hotel gets another rebirth, a new restaurant opening July 1st. We talk with the owner about his hopes for the iconic building. But first, the city of Barrie was the talk of the country leading up to what was supposed to be a vote on a set of comprehensive and controversial bylaws to rein in the homeless situation. The bylaws were never put to a vote thanks to a last-minute agreement between the city and the Busby Center in terms of where it provides food for the homeless. Barrie 360's Ian McLennan spoke with Mayor Alex Nuttall about the bylaws, the arrangement with the Busby Center, and where things go from here.
There was a number of items, of course, and the focus, though, a lot of it was on bylaws that were going to be amended. That has been sent back to city staff for another look. Since your news conference, people have been pointing to a bylaw from 2011 that also indicated a ban of distributions of food and other items, didn't reference tents or tarps, except for municipally, federally, provincially funded organizations, any registered charity or individual that was giving out food or otherwise would not be in contravention of the bylaw. Now we're at 2023. The amendments took away some of that. And some are saying council lied, or, you know, they weren't being upfront about what was in the 2011 bylaw. Can you maybe sort piecemeal through this to explain it?
Yeah. So first of all, council doesn't write bylaws, and we certainly don't interpret them. That's done by legal staff and clerk's office staff, et cetera. And so I think what we're trying to achieve, and we end up achieving at the end of the day on Wednesday, was that our social service agencies don't go to, you know, the same park areas or parking lots for parks where you have kids and families going to play.
And the Spirit Catcher was the one you were mentioning?
Yeah, the Spirit Catcher is one that we've been asking to have changed for a while now, right? So if you can imagine, if there are, you know, food distribution and harm reduction kits being handed out at the same places where you have kids going to play, it's just not the right atmosphere, both of those things to happen at the same time in the same place. And so we've been working through that. And finally, by the end of the day on Wednesday, that was agreed upon in partnership with the Busby Center, which allowed for us to then be able to say, okay, we don't need to amend the bills that were being brought forward on Wednesday night. We could actually send them back to staff to make sure that all of it was dealt with in the right way. And so our goal was actually to have the agencies be regulated on the where they are providing those services. And I think that ended up being achieved without having to actually approve the bill on Wednesday night. With regards to some of the concerned language, I think it was around individuals. You know, our staff and the individuals who wrote the bylaws with relation to the agencies being allowed to do it through a notwithstanding clause have actually told us that what they were looking for when they wrote that was that the agencies would be able to do it and individuals on behalf of those agencies would be able to do it. But they had left the 2003 language in place with regards to individuals not being allowed to, on their own, go out and provide these type of services in the community. And so I think that will be now amended permanently, and we'll almost see a flip in the sense that the agencies have agreed not to now go to our parks and to our waterfront to
city property
to do this exactly. And I think there's still some opportunity for city property. I just don't, not in our parks and waterfront,
okay.
Right? And at the same time, we'll now be able to amend the language from 2003 or two or whatever it was.
2011 was the last one that we saw here.
The previous bill, though, before that was that was amended in 2011 with a notwithstanding, had identified that individuals wouldn't be able to, neither would social service agencies. In 11, it was updated to allow social service agencies. And so I think the right thing was done in terms of sending it back to staff to come back with a more direct understanding of what the bill meant, of what's incorporated and what's not incorporated, and ensuring that individuals are allowed to do what they want to do, which is help those individuals in the community that are hurting.
Was it poorly communicated by the city? Because there seemed to be a lot of different interpretations. Even if you folks were having trouble interpreting it, the public sure was too.
Yeah, I think that's probably a little fair in the sense that when a bylaw is being brought forward, it gets sent out to the public through a package, and that's the agenda for the Wednesday nights. And council doesn't have an opportunity to influence what's in that until Wednesday night council. And so, you know, I think from our standpoint, council took the steps at the first possible opportunity to correct what we were seeing and hearing from the public. And I think at the end of the day, the right thing was done, right? And at the same time, we also achieved the objective of trying to make sure that these social service agencies are providing their very important programming just in a place that doesn't interfere with that family atmosphere.
So when city staff takes a look again at this bylaw, and if it's amended, I guess the public wants to know, Jack and Jill, if they want to distribute a tent to somebody on Duckworth Street, or maybe they're in St. Vincent Park, will that be allowed? As it said in 2011, though they don't mention tents and tarps, that they would not be in contravention of any bylaw.
So I don't believe that the bylaw coming back will include individuals. So when you say Jack and Jill, I assume that's not an organization or agency. And quite frankly, I'm not even sure it's required to have the agencies in there anymore, just based on the agreed upon changes from the agencies. So I'll wait to see what comes back from our public servants again. But I think that when it comes to council, we'll be able to again work through it. And you know, we had amendments that were ready to go Wednesday night to allow individuals to do that work that you're talking about, but decided that it was actually better to send it back to staff and get a wholesale look at it rather than trying to piecemeal wording on the floor regarding
how
a
did
bylaw.
How did you interpret the bylaw? I know, because again, that's the focal point. Did you interpret it to be that if Mayor Little, I would not be able to hand out a couple of granola bars or soup to somebody sitting on the corner on Dunlop Street who wasn't panhandling? They were just holding a sign. Would that have been your interpretation? I can't do that anymore?
Well, I think at first it wasn't, but once I started seeing some of the information coming in from members of the community, I think that a lot of this has to do with the fact that we need to make sure that it's clear, right? There's clarity in what is being proposed and what is not. And unfortunately, when you get into the legalese of bills, sometimes it becomes complicated, as we saw in the original 03 and then 11 changes, and then even our changes that were being proposed this week. But more than anything, I think that once those items started being brought up and highlighted, for me, I looked at it and thought, yeah, I can see what everyone's who's been writing in this is talking about. Let's make sure that we get this right, because you know it's a law, right? You want to make sure that it's done right, and I think that we'll see that happen through the process with staff.
Did you expect the blowback that went national from various agencies? You know, that what was being proposed or amended was, in their opinion, a violation of human rights, and how you felt?
Well, it's interesting. Like I think that the conversations that we've been having are about a safe community. It's about how do we make sure that there is a place that folks can be helped, that there's a compassionate approach, that individuals are not left on their own who are experiencing, you know, mental health, addictions, homelessness, and other items. At the same time, how do we have a safe community for our young people and our families? And so, you know, some of it, I think, was a little bit surprising, but I think for the most part it was kind of understood there was going to be some discomfort with changes. Change is always difficult, and if you look at it, we know what's been going on for the last decade hasn't worked, right? Like it's getting worse, and it's not just a Barrie issue. Like this is a Ontario and Canada issue, right? And so we need to make sure that we're both helping these individuals as well as we are providing those safe spaces, safe public spaces for families and kids to be able to use the splash pad, you know, to use the splash park without, you know, being 150 meters from activities that we wouldn't want around our children. And it's interesting, like, you know, as you look around the city and you say, okay, all the organizations are doing such incredible work, and they are, but there's some gaps, there's some holes, right? And some of it is a hole in the clock, we call it, right? In the sense that there's not round the clock services available, which therefore you end up having those who are vulnerable spill out onto the streets. And some of it's a hole in the actual services, like the heating cooling center, as well as the food programs that the Salvation Army aren't able to provide anymore. And those are things that we have now stepped up, and we're going to bring to the table, ensure that they are provided in our community, because they have been gaps, they haven't been dealt with. And once we're able to actually put those in place, I think they're very positive.
And the province, you've put the onus on the province too, in terms of stepping up to the plate for more treatment access, because you say there are huge holes in the system for people that want to access the system and can't.
Well, we're asking Queen's Park to come up with funding for a multitude of services, whether it's the RAM service, which is rapid access response, to the detox services, to full-on rehab services in our community. I think it's all of these things, when you bring them together, will work to create a better situation for the individual struggling when it comes to addiction and mental health, but at the same time provides a way forward for the city as a whole, in the sense that if we have these services in place, it becomes a lot easier for our agencies to be able to refer them in going forward.
Still much to be done on this, including a public consultation meeting in September, a chance for residents and special interest groups to weigh in with ideas to ease the homeless crunch and revive the downtown. Ian also had the opportunity to speak with a woman outside City Hall the night the bylaw vote was to have taken place. Maria is from Newfoundland, moved to Barrie to be close to her children, has experienced homelessness firsthand, and paints a picture for us of what that's like. She also comments on the bylaws the city had been considering, the good and the bad in her eyes.
I was homeless from 2021, and I was recently housed just past October.
Here in Barrie, you were homeless?
Yes.
Okay. What was that experience like?
Well, I now suffer from PTSD. Because, you know, I've gotten to see a lot of horrible things happen to people that I deeply care about, and people being mistreated, you know, and I've lost loved ones when we were out and about, also in the shelters, like during COVID and stuff like that. And then what was really hard was when they cut the funding to the Travelodge, because for a time I was there, and then all of us, our heads were on the chopping block. There was only 25 spots in the E-Fry.
Yep.
And there was like almost 100 women and almost 100 men.
So when
we were told the funding was cut, and we have basically a couple months, and we don't know who's getting a bed.
Yeah. Was the fact the city's bylaw suggests that you can't give food or water to someone who's homeless, and not just within a park, but that street there, because they manage the street. How do you feel? Do you feel angry? What are your emotions?
I feel hurt, because what were you doing last Thanksgiving? Because I could tell you, last Thanksgiving, I was sleeping in the CMHA parking lot, and, you know, I was at rock bottom. One of my tents had just been slashed. You know, I had tents before, and, you know, I had basically all my stuff stolen, so all I had was a couple moldy blankets, and I was given gifts. I had somebody from the CMHA walk up to me and give me a sleeping bag out of their trunk, and someone else gave me another sleeping bag. Other people walked up to me and they gave me, you know, pop and things. And I thought that if somebody was to try to give them a fine for giving me those little things that kept me going, because it was raining the Thanksgiving weekend, and I would have froze to death.
And the public,
and starved.
You have had support from the public who've come and given you stuff and assistance?
Yes. If it were not for the staff that were supporting me, and if it were not for the generous people of the public, I would not have survived. And if it were not for my homeless comrades, I don't like what they're saying. Like, I acknowledge the city's motion, like, that they're... I support the positive things that they're doing, looking for more funding. That's great. But it's not necessary to prohibit charity. It's not necessary to prohibit people giving what they can do with their money. and it's not necessary to prohibit giving out tents and shelter, because if they actually get all these positive things funded, there's a reduced need. And also if they fix the housing, like the affordable housing problem, there's a reduced need for people to panhandle, for people to have charity, because more people will be housed. And the thing is, the fact of the matter is, even if they have all these services, even if they have all of these things, the positive things in the motion passed, there are some people who are incapable mentally and physically of seeking these services out, and it is their right to survive, and charity is their only means of survival.
Again, a long way to go in solving the homeless situation in Barrie and finding ways to make things work for everyone in the meantime. What Barrie's Talking About is a weekly podcast featuring the best Barrie and Simcoe County have to offer and more. We've covered a lot of ground since we began last summer, introduced you to Canadian singer-songwriter Elijah Woods, met 8-year-old Morgan Mansfield, who's trying to save the monarch butterfly, and helped a local group find storage space for items collected to help Ukrainian refugees who have made the Barrie area their new home. You can get caught up and make it easy to keep up in the future by subscribing to What Barrie's Talking About through any streaming service. Still to come on What Barrie's Talking About, everything old is new again at the Simcoe Hotel in downtown Barrie. Now this.
Our community rocks.
It's a well-known fact blood transfusion saves lives. It's also a well-known fact that the world relies on voluntary unpaid donations to fill the need for blood. The need for blood never ends. Canadian Blood Services in Barrie is calling on you to help save a life. Please consider donating today. Appointments are mandatory and must be booked in advance. Book today at blood.ca, through the Give Blood app, or by calling 1-888-2-DONATE.
Our community rocks on Barrie's Rock Station, Rock 95.
This is What Barrie's Talking About from Barrie 360. I'm Dan Blakely. It oversees the Five Points in downtown Barrie, has fed and entertained many over the years, and is set to feed and entertain more with the return of the Simcoe Hotel Saloon and Eatery. We took the Barrie 360 microphone to the Simcoe last week while work continued on the inside, and got the grand plan from owner Matthew Metzler.
Originally, they were thinking about cutting this area into three separate units. And so we started brainstorming on what would be the highest and best use here. And we said, you know what? Why don't we bring back the old Simcoe? Everybody seemed to love it, an iconic building. We've had an overwhelming amount of support from the community. Just about every day we get somebody coming and knocking on the front door, asking if we're open, and we'll tell us stories about, I had my first beer here 45 years ago type of thing.
Yeah.
Really cool.
So you have a really vested interest in this place. Did I read somewhere or hear somewhere there's some family history too?
My contractor's grandmother used to work here. She worked here, it's his great-grandmother actually, and she worked here in the 1940s. They owned a gas station in town, and then she ended up working here as well, getting through the tough times back then. And so, she was a bartender here.
What's the grand plan? You're bringing back the old Simcoe. What does that mean? What does that entail?
There's a lot of factors. We really want to bring in influences from around Simcoe County, but we do want to still keep our food at a very high level. A lot of our food is local. Our meat is local, our produce as well. We're looking into getting, we're trying to pick up an 11-acre plot right now. We can grow our own vegetables, our own spices. You know, we'd love to be able to bring our produce cost down. We could do a $3 salad with maybe a wine pairing for lunch. Be interesting. But overall, the goal here is we really want to improve this downtown corridor. I'm in love with the city of Barrie. I think it's absolutely phenomenal with the lake and everything like that, and the people and the history here. So we really want to preserve that. We do want to do some improvements to the outside of the building as time goes on. And we really just want to bring back that old flair.
A lot of history in this building.
Tons.
Can you go back and take us through some of it? I know I was in here a few years ago, and somebody took me on a tour in the basement, and there were tree trunks holding up parts of the building.
Tree trunks. Some of them are still charred from the original fire. It was originally built in the 1850s, and then it burned down, I believe, in 1867. It was rebuilt the same year, and they kept the original foundation. There's rumors that this building was part of the Underground Railroad. Supposedly, I've never seen it myself, but guys before me have told me that there's an actual tunnel that runs underneath Dunlop Street. It used to be there. It was closed off, connecting all the buildings. So just a huge amount of history here. originally, you know, it was a military port, I believe. So there would have been farmers drinking here, ranchers, military guys, and it's got a history for it. Yeah,
I heard, too, that there might be a ghost or two wandering around.
They say there's a ghost or two. People say there's a couple of ghosts. If you go down to the basement, it can be a little spooky. There was a lady who passed away on the stairs way back 100-plus years ago. They say that she's in this place. I've been in here late at night, and sometimes there is a door over on the side here that goes to the upstairs rooms there. And sometimes you'll hear people coming in and out of there, but it'll echo through the building. And you're sitting here going, is somebody in here with me? It's kind of spooky when you're in a place like this.
I bet.
Yeah.
What kind of clientele are you looking for? It's gone through a lot of different machinations over the years, yep. And you think you've got the right recipe this time.
Our target that we're going for is going to be a 35 plus. So 35 up to 75, that kind of an age group. Really we want to bring in the people that have a history with this place, maybe came here 25 years ago and absolutely love the place. One of the taglines that we're playing with here is continuously historic. So our story's still being written here. But we want to bring in those people that have a history here, that love Barry, and they want to have some great food and, you know, a nice, beautiful steak. Come on in here, enjoy some good times with us.
And target is July 1st opening?
July 1st opening.
I look forward to that steak.
Beautiful. Come on in.
And that's our program for this week. Thanks to Ian for his input, to Matt Ladder for his technical expertise, and to you for listening. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe to What Barry's Talking About. Rate it, review it. You can also keep up with What Barry's Talking About on Facebook and Twitter at Barry360, on our website, Barry360.com, and on our daily Kickstart podcast, available from any streaming service and on our website. I'm Dan Blakely. Hope you'll join us again next week.